You all this morning. It was unplanned and unscheduled, but God has a way of working through the miracle of birth, and that took Pastor Vic to Boston this weekend. And so we have a couple of things we get to celebrate this morning. One is communion, but I think we also have the opportunity to celebrate with Vic's family. So what an awesome thing. Can I get us started in prayer this morning? Would that be okay? Let's pray together. Father, we're just thankful that you brought us together this morning, that you've given us this place, and you've given us this time to gather together and to worship you. And Father, what an awesome thing to think about, that as this world spins, this world that you created, people have been awake before us worshiping you, and now it's our turn. So Lord, I pray this morning that what we do here would bring a smile to your face, as we give you all the glory and all the praise and all the honor this morning. Father, thank you for the celebration that we get to have this morning as we remember Christ's sacrifice. Father, we love you, and we thank you for loving us so much. And it's through the love of Christ that even brings us together. If it weren't for Christ, this would have no purpose. So we celebrate that too this morning. Through him, amen. Well, this morning I want to share a great story with you, a story of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was someone that I can connect with on one certain level. Yes, he too was a short little man, which I think that sometimes can be a soul connection for us short people. You know what I'm saying? We don't have to duck when most do. It's an awesome thing. But then sometimes we don't duck when we probably should have because we think we're too short. But I can relate to Zacchaeus. I can relate to this story and what Zacchaeus went through. But Zacchaeus wasn't a good person. And probably on some level I can relate to that as well. Zacchaeus was a sinner. He was a thief. I mean, his main objective in life was to gain more money, and he would do that however he could. He was a tax collector. So he would go to those people and overtax. He would take that money for his own benefit. And to some, the benefit of his cronies. But did you know that the name Zacchaeus means righteous one? Did you know that? And all the time growing up in children's church and vacation Bible school and talking about the wee little man who climbed up in a sycamore tree, did you know that his name meant righteous one? But he wasn't living up to his name, was he? As a thief, he certainly wasn't acting very righteous. As one who would take money from others, even the poorest of the poor, for his own benefit, he certainly wasn't acting righteous. Then we have the second person in this story, Jesus. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. He was coming to the end of his public ministry. He was coming to the point where he would be betrayed and eventually put on the cross. But on his way to Jerusalem, he passed through Jericho. On his way there, he even stops and he heals a blind beggar outside the walls of Jericho. We all know about the city of Jericho, right? We know about the story of Joshua and how Joshua took peas and carrots and cucumbers. Or was it asparagus? I really don't remember. I need to brush up on my VeggieTales theology. But he took those things and marched around the walls of Jericho. The walls came tumbling down so God's chosen people could have the promised land. This city is very significant in the history of Jewish people. Very significant. Jesus goes through Jericho on his way to Jerusalem. Was this an accident? I don't believe in accidents. I think this was a very divine appointment. We know about the gospel a couple of important things. We know that the gospel is what God is doing. It's God revealing himself, and it shows us what he is doing. And that is giving us Christ, showing us grace, and offering us salvation. But he also gives us fun stories. as a part of it. Ways for us to relate. Ways for us to connect. And that's exactly what he does with Zacchaeus. So, Luke chapter 19, starting with verse 1. It's a great passage. It just goes through verse 10, so it's very short. But let me read it to you. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree so that he could see Jesus, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house." There's that divine appointment, that divine meeting. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up in his home and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay them back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." I pray that God would add his blessing to the reading of his word this morning. And what an incredible story, packed with so much stuff. Zacchaeus, this worthless sinner. Everybody in town knew it. Did you notice that? When Jesus said, "Zacchaeus, come down, I must go to your house," what did everybody quickly do? They didn't say, "Well, I'm a sinner, so I don't, you know, maybe I'm not worthy." No, they started pointing at Zacchaeus. What is Jesus doing? He's going to go hang out with this worthless sinner who has cheated us out of so much. So often we see in Jesus' ministry that this is what he does. He wants to go to the lowest of the low and spend time with them. Those who claim to be religious, sometimes Jesus just walked right on by. He wanted to be with Zacchaeus. He wanted to spend time with him. We see the most important part of the passage at the very end where Luke is pointing out what Jesus said, that he came to seek and save the lost. That is what God is doing through this story. That's God's purpose through this story. That's what we call the upper story, the big picture. That's what God is doing. But in what we call the lower story, we see Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, who was just a wee little person, a short guy, he hears about Jesus. He hears about all the things that Jesus is doing. Did you know that there were plenty of people who would follow Jesus? On a regular basis, they would hear of him coming, or maybe they'd been following from the beginning of his ministry, and they just were following him constantly. And the reason they followed him was simply to see what he was going to do next. Now, wouldn't you want to do that too? I mean, you hear about this man who's able to heal blind beggars just like he did outside the gates of Jericho. He's able to bring the dead back to life. Would you not want to walk with him and see what he's going to do next? I mean, some of us pay really big money to go see fake magic. I'm guilty. I'm always intrigued by a magician and how they can do the things they do. What Jesus was doing was real, and it was free. They could just walk along with him and see everything that he was doing. So when Jesus was rumored to be coming to a place, life as everybody knew it would stop because they would go running just to see what Jesus was doing. They wanted to check it out. They had heard about this great man who was able to do these great things. Some people did call him a magician. Some people called him a false prophet or a prophet to other gods. But Jesus reveals himself here even as the Son of Man. There's no denying who he was. There's no denying what he was doing there. He came to seek and save one lost person, Zacchaeus, the little man who just wanted to show up and see what this Jesus thing was all about. Did you know at one point in Jesus' ministry, you can find this in the Gospel of John, there was a point where Jesus got so frustrated with those people who were following him simply to see what he was going to do next, that he finally turned around and looked at them and said, listen, if you want to follow me, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood. In other words, you must consume me. My life, or your life, must be about me. And some of those people, hearing that, they said, but Jesus, this is too hard. How can any of us do this? And they became frustrated and started gnashing their teeth and muttering amongst themselves, and eventually they walked away from Jesus. There were so many people that just came around him just to see what he was going to do next, and to some extent that was Zacchaeus. What's Jesus going to do as he comes through my town? What great thing is he going to do as he walks down my streets? So he runs out to see. He runs out to check out what God is up to. He comes into the crowd. It's me at a concert. I can't see anything. Did you see that? I think I cleared like maybe 2 inches there. It was awesome. I'll work on that this week. Couldn't see anything. So many obstacles in his way. So many little things that were frustrating him. I'm sure at that time, can you imagine? Put yourself in Zacchaeus' shoes. You're coming to this place, or maybe it's whatever they call that Thursday in November. No, the Friday, I mean. Black Friday, thank you. How did I forget? Because I never go, I guess. There's no way you're getting me out of bed for a Walmart deal. I'm sorry if you work there. I love you, and I love Walmart. Don't get me wrong, but that's early. But, you know, you're standing there in line, and you're wanting that good deal, and you're trying to see everything. You're trying to look over the people. That's kind of what Zacchaeus was like here. There was no way he was going to be able to get through those people. And remember, those people didn't like him. You ever been around someone you don't care much for? The elbows start to come out a little bit. Get back there. I'm standing here. Stay away. So many obstacles in Zacchaeus' way. You know, even this morning, if you think about this, if you think about us seeking God, because that's really what Zacchaeus was doing here. He was seeking God. He wanted to see Jesus. This is nothing new. I stole this saying from someone else, but in my house, on Sunday mornings, we have what we call the unholy hour. When everybody's up and trying to get ready. Why is it that when you're getting ready for work and school, things can just flow so well, but on Sunday morning, all the obstacles come out, don't they? You burn the toast, you can't find your pants. I mean, it's a horrible thing. Some of you can relate, right? Man, sometimes when we're seeking Christ, there are so many obstacles that get put in our way. And that's where Zacchaeus was. But he didn't stop. He didn't stop. So if you can picture this short little man running as fast as he can down the street, people in his way, you picture a parade and all these folks are in the way and they're not going to budge, they're not going to move, but he wants to see Jesus so bad that he's willing to run for it. And if Zacchaeus truly is like me, that means you want something pretty bad if you're willing to run for it. So he's running as fast as he can. Picture the Fred Flintstone legs, you know, when he's taken off in his car, he's running as fast as he can to get to a tree. This tree wasn't an obstacle, was it? Now, a tree can be an obstacle. My son races four-wheelers, and he's pretty good at it. But a couple of races ago, a tree became an obstacle in his path. It stopped him rather abruptly and left some body damage. It isn't a pleasant thing. A tree can be an obstacle, but in this case, it wasn't. It became an opportunity. It became an opportunity for Zacchaeus to reach his destination. At least that's what he thought. So he climbs up in that tree as fast as he can because he wants to see the Christ. He makes it. All those obstacles in his way, those people, those things, those the stuff, the things of life, all of those obstacles in his way, but he finally reaches his destination so that he can see Jesus. Now, we're blessed with the big picture. We know that that isn't his ultimate destination, don't we? We know that there's so much more that's coming for Zacchaeus. He's up in that tree, and he's looking down, and I want you to realize one more obstacle that Zacchaeus was facing here. And it was the obstacle of simply climbing that tree. You see, that wasn't something grown-ups do. In that culture, that would really have been an embarrassing thing. But he did it anyway because of his strong desire to see Jesus. He's in the tree. He's waiting for his moment. Not knowing at that time how big that moment was going to be, but Jesus walks by. Jesus looks at him and says, Zacchaeus, come down right now. I've got something so much better for you. I'm going to go to your house. You don't simply have to just reach your hand out and touch my robes like we hear about in other stories. Jesus wanted to be with Zacchaeus in his home. As I even think about this, I didn't think about this when I was putting together this sermon necessarily, but as I think about that, I'm thinking about all the things that Jesus, give me a minute because I need to go vacuum. And I haven't dusted for a while, and there's some dirty dishes on the counter, so can you give me 10 minutes? No. I can picture Zacchaeus. We're not given this in the story, but I can picture him scurrying down that tree, walking side by side with Jesus to his home. And during that time, transformation was happening. The gospel was being lived out. Forgiveness came to this place. Zacchaeus felt something. He saw something. He knew something was different in his life. And even as those people, those obstacles were standing outside the door, looking in the windows, because remember, when Jesus was in town, everybody was there. They're looking and they're pointing, saying, look at him. He's sitting with a sinner. He went into the home of a sinner. But on that day, Zacchaeus was no longer a worthless sinner. But he became a saved man. Zacchaeus was forever changed, never to be the same again. Jesus said, today, salvation has come to this house for a wee little man. There was a big result. The gospel being lived out, the gospel story being told, and a man who was seeking Jesus so earnestly discovered one important thing, that Jesus was looking for him too. And that's the biggest point we can make in this story. We can look for Jesus earnestly, or we can sit back in our chairs. But it doesn't take away the truth that Jesus is looking for you. Now, how do we know that he was forever changed? Because Zacchaeus stood up and he said this. Today, I confess that if there's any poor person who needs, I'll give it to them. If there's anybody I cheated, I will give them four times as much. He was so willing in his changed person, in his changed soul, in his saved soul, he was willing to make amends. Now, we can easily mistake this part of the story and say, well, he was doing that so he could be saved. But no, it's just the opposite. He did that because Christ saved him. He wasn't doing it to try to gain favor from Jesus. Jesus already showed him favor. So don't think that right now, in order for God to love you, you need to go out and fix everything you've ever screwed up. No, God already loves you. And our response to that love should be like Zacchaeus's. because we come across the love of Christ, because that changes our life, then the fruit of our salvation begins to work. And for Zacchaeus, that was making amends for all these people. So can you picture the man who was most despised in that community probably became the man most loved? And I can picture that Zacchaeus did it right. I can picture that Zacchaeus stood up and said, you know what, it's not me. It's what God is doing through me. It's what Christ did for me. That's why I'm giving you back everything that I ever stole from you. Everything that I ever took, everything I ever cheated you out of. That's why, because of Christ. I can picture Zacchaeus making that statement. And Jesus proclaims that this Jewish man was now a believer. That salvation had come to his life. That he was no longer to be the same. Obstacles. We're all going to face them. We're all going to come across those things in our lives, aren't we? Those little things that pop up and get in our way. Those little things that confuse us. Those little things that frustrate us. Maybe it's people. Like Zacchaeus, he was probably frustrated by the people that were around him. Maybe it's people in our lives that become obstacles for us truly seeking out Christ. Maybe it's circumstances. For Zacchaeus, he was a short person. That was nothing he could change. That was a circumstance that he couldn't change. Maybe the obstacle is your own heart. But the beautiful part of this story is that God can change every single one of those things. I'm not saying God's going to make you taller. I've been praying for that for a long time. I think I'm actually getting shorter. So at least I look at my kids and I'm getting shorter. But God will change your circumstances. He'll shed light on them and help you understand that sometimes those aren't really a big deal. And he does that when he tells us that none of that stuff matters. What he came for was to seek and save the lost. So on this day, a lost man who was seeking was found by a Savior who was looking for him. It didn't matter the obstacles that popped up. It didn't matter what got in the way. The gospel was lived out. Jesus brought to him a worthless sinner and changed his heart. Now, when we look at what Zacchaeus did, he gave 4 times back to those he cheated. Well, I'll tell you something about Jewish law at that time, and you can look through Deuteronomy, you'll see this. When someone cheated someone else, they were supposed to pay them back and then pay them back in multiples. But you notice Zacchaeus, he didn't even argue with that. He didn't go to the judge, Jesus, and say, Jesus, I've made a mistake, but I'll give him back what I cheated him out of, or I'll give him back what I cheated him out of, and then a little more. No, he said, you know what? I've made my mistakes. But through you, my mistakes are made right, because it is what Christ did in his life at that moment when a lost man was found. Is that not a beautiful picture? Is that not just incredible to think about, that there is a Savior who is seeking us, and even if we've already been found, it never stops. Look at what Jesus did with his disciples. He just kept teaching them and teaching them and teaching them and bringing them along. Clear up until the point that he ascended into heaven, he never stopped teaching. That can be us. Seek him with everything that you have. Seek him with your 2-inch vertical. Seek him with your stature. Seek him with your brain. Seek him with your heart, but find comfort in knowing that he's seeking you back. A lost man was found. A lost man was found. And the gospel story was told through Zacchaeus. People saw it. So question number two, is the gospel story being told in your life? Can you say that I was seeking Christ, but he found me? It's a challenge. It's difficult. And sometimes we want to use those obstacles as an opportunity, as an excuse. It's time to get rid of it. It's time to say that obstacles get in my way. On Sunday morning, I have the unholy hour, but God be glorified. I will fight through it. If you're wondering what the unholy hour is, you know, teenage boys, just trying to get them out of bed. My goodness. You talk about an unholy hour. Teenage girls may be the same, I don't know. But there's always going to be something. Satan, in fact, will try. He'll put those obstacles in front of you. I was sharing with a young lady, got a text yesterday. She said, can I come over and talk to you? I said, sure. She came over. We sat on my front porch, and she said, there's so much stuff. And I'll be honest with you, this morning, that's still weighing on me a little bit. There's so many broken people in this world that need to hear the good news of Jesus. So many people. So we're sitting there talking, and she's sharing with me all these obstacles, and it really affirmed for me that this was the right text to preach from this morning. So many of the obstacles were things in her own life, things that she had done. And I said, I'm going to tell you something. What you're feeling is conviction. The Spirit is convicting you of this stuff. And I wanted to make it clear to her, don't fall into a trap of guilt. That's what Satan wants for you. That will become a huge obstacle. Guilt is something that where we beat ourselves up. And we wither away when we feel guilty, don't we? But through Christ, we don't have to feel guilt. We will feel conviction. And that conviction will change us. Guilt so oftentimes doesn't change us. And I said to her, those obstacles will be removed. God is great. He can move those things. That's the story of the gospel. Christ's death on the cross moves all those obstacles. It pushes them aside so that you can feel and see his love for you. And now, this young lady decided, I need to be baptized. I need to recommit my life to the Lord. And what a celebration right there on my front porch. That also needs to be dusted and swept and everything else. But Jesus doesn't care about that. He cares about this. He cares about this. Don't worry about the obstacles. God's more powerful than the obstacles. Think about a Savior that loves us so much that even now as we sit here, he is seeking your heart. He is seeking you. Let's stand as we pray and sing this song of commitment. This morning, if you're here and you need to make a decision, you just need to recommit your life, I challenge you to do that this morning. And if you do that right where you're sitting, hey, that's great. Please let us know. You can write it on the comment card. You can come let me know after the service, one of the deacons. They'd love to talk to you about that. Just let us know. But as we sing this song, make it your prayer. Make it your celebration, especially as we move into a time of communion this morning. Let your heart sing out to Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you that you sent your Son to seek the lost and bring salvation to their lives. Thank you for this story that proves that point, that shows us your love for us and the importance of Christ's sacrifice on the cross. Father, this morning I pray a simple prayer that if someone is here this morning and they just need those obstacles moved out of their way, you would give them that help, that you would move those obstacles so that they can see you clearly as you seek us. Father, if that decision is made in their life, Lord, I pray that they would communicate that with us so we can celebrate. God, this morning as we sing this song, open our hearts, open our minds to hear you and your calling through Christ. Amen.